Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Cindy So.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored. And yourself?
Fantastic. I'm blessed, man. Thank you so much for asking. Now, we spoke about, unfair dismissal last week. And, as far as that is concerned, businesses have constantly flowing and shuffling human resources, meaning people are fluidly moving in and out of, organizations. At times, this is voluntary by employees. But unfortunately, there are times when companies have to terminate employees for varying reasons. And so last week we did talk about, unfair dismissal. And today we want to cover, if you can help us, cover the remedies that can be taken where there has been an unfair dismissal. But before we get to that, please, if you can just do a quick recap of what you covered with us last week.
Thank you very much, Zama. All right. So basically what we spoke about last week, one of your questions was in relation to whether there is anything called an unlawful termination. Mm-hmm. And what we did point out was obviously the fact that in legalese, in our terms, there is no what we call an unlawful termination, but what we would refer to as a wrongful termination. And in terms of the Labor Relations Act, that would be what we refer to under Section 187 of the Labor Relations Act as the automatically unfair dismissals. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we pointed out to 8 grounds of unfair dismissal, and those were in relation to issues where employees are terminated, or the employment is terminated as a result of participating in a strike, refusing to work during a strike, or being forced to accept certain demands by the employer, as a result of pregnancy, mm-hmm. As a result of discrimination, and as a result of protected disclosures, which is whistleblowing. Mm-hmm. So those would fall within what we call in terms of Section 187 as the automatically unfair dismissals. What we then spoke about, Zama, is what is a dismissal in any event?
Yeah, yeah.
A dismissal, we defined it as a conduct of the employer that would bring the employment relationship to an end. And we said that in terms of Section 186 of the Labor Relations Act, there are 3 grounds, mm-hmm. Or 3 ways in which an employment is terminated. One, it may be terminated fairly, it may be terminated unfairly, or it may be automatically unfair. We pointed out to the first issue that needs to be determined when one is proving a dismissal. And when we pointed out this, we said that the employee's onus is to prove that there is an employer-employee relationship between himself or herself and the employer. Mm. Now, why is that important? And I know that we didn't cover this last week, but the reason why that is important is because one can only be protected in terms of the Labor Relations Act if that or such person is an employee of the said employer. There is a differentiation, obviously, between an employee, which is, there are 2 distinctions. One, there is what we call an independent contractor, and then an employee. An mm-hmm. independent contractor, for instance, would be yourself, Zama, mm-hmm. who comes to me and says, "Oh, Mr. Spanda, I run an IT company. And what I want to do is I want to come and assist you guys with your IT functions and all that stuff. And I say, okay, no. And you come in and do our IT functions.
Yep.
Basically, you would employ other people to come in and assist you with doing that particular work. You're not my employee, but you are an independent contractor, and I contract you for IT services within my firm.
Yeah.
So there needs to be that distinction between an employee and an independent contractor.
Mm-hmm.
So your employees who are working in my company providing IT solutions are not my employees, but they are your employees.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they have no claim to being employees in my company, but in your company.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the distinctions that are very critical.
Yeah, yeah.
Once the employee has proved that there is an employer-employee relationship, the onus now falls on the employer to prove that the dismissal of that particular employee was procedurally and substantively fair.
Right. Yeah.
Those are the two hurdles that an employer needs to skip before it is said that the dismissal was a fair dismissal.
Mm-hmm.
How did we define substantive fairness as well as procedural fairness?
Oh, yes, yeah.
What we spoke about in substantive fairness, we said there must be a reason for the termination of the employment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we find that there actually was no reason for the termination of that employment, we say that that termination was substantively unfair.
Mm.
And then the employer needs to follow the correct procedure in terminating the employment, i.e. the employer must give notice to the employee, they must give inform the employee about the employee's rights to representation, allow the employee time to defend themselves, allow the employee an opportunity to get a fellow employee or a union representative to represent them,
yeah.
Allow the employee to put their case as well as cross-examine witnesses, if there are any witnesses that are to be cross-examined. And then that once the decision is made, the employer must provide written reasons for the dismissal. One of the critical things that we spoke about was that a dismissal must be a last resort.
Mm-hmm.
So the employer may not just rush to dismiss an employee without exploring alternatives to a dismissal. So a dismissal must be a last resort, because a dismissal is quite punitive.
Mm.
And in order for an employer to venture into a dismissal, the employer must consider alternatives to a dismissal. And that is very, very critical when an employer is making a decision, during a disciplinary hearing for an employee and so on and so forth. So that is basically one of the things that we spoke about.
Yep.
Then, yes, Zama.
Yeah. All right. So I want us to thank you so much for that recap. Now, in the instance where unfair dismissal has occurred, what remedies, can be taken in those instances or in that instance?
Thank you, Zama. Right. The primary remedy during a dispute over fair or unfair dismissal is that the employee simply wants their job back. Right? So reinstatement is the primary remedy during such disputes. Now, Before we speak about remedies in general, remember, an employment contract basically falls within the spectrum or the sphere of contracts. So in this case, where a party does not perform in terms of a particular agreement, that constitutes a breach of that particular contract. Where there is a breach of contract, generally, we would explore what we call common law remedies. The innocent party has a choice to either accept the breach or to cancel the contract or to compel the defaulting party. In this instance, we speak about specific performance. To compel the defaulting party to perform or to claim damages against the defaulting party. Right. Now, what the Labor Relations Act came in and did is it then provided cheaper and easier ways or mechanisms of dealing with labor relations issues.
Right.
In the case of Chirwa, they tailor-made dispute resolution measures, which are in line with the labor legislation. And those are now used instead of the common law remedies that were used previously, which is a breach of contract. So in general, in the Labor Relations Act, a breach by an employer would probably amount to unfair labor practice, unfair discrimination, unfair dismissal, whereas a breach by the employee would amount to misconduct. Right. So, as I said, the primary remedy, the employee who's been dismissed is not interested in compensation because compensation is temporary.
They
want their job back.
True.
That is simply what they want. So primarily what that employee wants is to be reinstated. And reinstated reinstatement can be ordered by the court with a number of exceptions. And these are exceptions could be where the employee does not wish to be reinstated or reemployed by the very same employer, or where the circumstances surrounding that particular dismissal are of such a nature that the employment relationship or continued employment relationship between the employer and the employee has become intolerable. In other words, these people will not be able to handle each other if we reinstate this person. Another one would be where it is not reasonably practical, you know, to reinstate that employee. And finally, where it is found that the only reason why the dismissal was unfair was as a result of the fact that the employer used an unfair procedure. However, substantively, there was a substantive reason, or it was substantively fair, and it is found that the procedural aspect was lacking. The courts generally, or the CCMA, may resort to not reinstating that particular employee. I'll take you to case law, Zama, and one of the cases that we speak about is the case of SARS versus the CCMA, where the court concluded that once an arbitrator has concluded that an employee's dismissal was unfair, he has to consider whether reinstatement would be appropriate. And in so doing, he must look at the seriousness of the misconduct and the potential impact on the workplace. That is, those are some of the things that are considered by the courts or are considered by the commissioners during a decision on whether to reinstate an employee or not to reinstate an employee.
Yeah.
Right. The second remedy would be compensation, right? Mm-hmm. The employer themselves, as we said earlier on, the employee themselves, as we said earlier on, might say that, look, I'm not interested in going back to work for this employer, and I just want to be paid out and walk away from this relationship. Mm. The Labor Relations Act caps the compensation amount to a maximum of 12 months' salary. Mm. That can be awarded to the employee who has been dismissed under situations where it is substantively and procedurally unfair. And that is calculated at the remuneration date of the dismissal. So they calculate according to what the employee was earning at the time of the dismissal, and it is capped to a maximum of 12 months of that employee's salary. And then there are instances that we referred to earlier on, Zama, where we spoke about automatically unfair dismissals. And here, what the courts look at, they look at what is just and equitable. What is a just and equitable compensation? However, a just and equitable compensation must not exceed the maximum of the 12-month salary that is capped.
Yeah, no, this has been quite an a very eye-opening, conversation. I must say that, there's a lot, man, to talk about with these labor relations issues. And thank you so much for joining us today, Cindy. So truly, truly appreciate that. We are literally out of time. I wanted to ask, in the instance of a constructive dismissal, what then happens? But I suppose because we are out of time, we can attend to that at another time.
Thank you, Zama. We will definitely attend to that at a later stage. My door is always open, and I will await your call.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Zama.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.